encouraging prayer. God offers an open invitation for his people to talk with him at any time about anything. On Encouraging Prayer, Dr. James Banks, author of the best-selling Prayers for Prodigals and many other books on prayer, provides weekly biblical insight to help you learn to love to pray. And now, here's James. So today on Encouraging Prayer, we're going to talk about the blessings of praying with others. James, I'm really glad we're talking on this subject today because, frankly, it's not something you hear every day.
You're right, and it really is important. As you may know, I did my doctoral work in the area of United Prayer and its role in revival. And we're in one of those periods where praying together has fallen out of practice in many churches and homes. And I really believe that we've seen a decline in the influence of Christianity in our culture because of that. And if we really learn to pray together, I think we'll see that change.
Well, why do you think that is?
The decline, I really believe it's because we're trying to do things in our own strength instead of God's. I mean, if you go to many churches today, solid churches, well-meaning ones, you'll find all kinds of programs, many of them doing a lot of good. But if you were to call a prayer meeting, very few people would show up. And I like what Jim Cimbala said about this. He said, prayer is the source of the Christian life. Otherwise, it's like having a baby in your arms and not dressing her. It's like having a baby in your arms and dressing her up so cute, but she's not breathing. Never mind the frilly clothes. Stabilize the child's vital signs. So today I want to talk about the blessings that occur when we do pray together, whether in the church or at home, or to put it another way, what we often miss out on when we don't pray together.
So I know that church you serve, Peace Church in Durham, really has a heart for this. I mean, I've seen it firsthand on more than one occasion. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, it really does. And that's all God's work. You know, many of the people there love to pray together, but it's always a work in progress with us too. You know, we have a lot of room to grow, but we love to do it because there's a sense of Jesus' presence when we come together and pray that is really special. And
so is that some clue to what you would say is the first blessing of praying together?
Yeah, the first and best, I would say, is, you know, what Jesus promised in Matthew 18:20 when he said that where two or more are gathered, he's there with them. So really, it's Jesus. You know, he's the first best blessing of praying together.
But don't some say that this promise is made in the context of church discipline?
In Matthew 18:20, yeah, and it is, but we would be mistaken to think it's limited to that. I mean, the immediate context, if you look at verse 19, is in the concept of asking God, in other words, praying together. But if you were to say, well, Jesus only means he'll be there when you're disciplining someone, then I think you're off the mark. I mean, Jesus is talking about a much larger principle here, and you see it throughout Scripture, especially in the book of Acts.
So what are some of the other benefits of praying with others?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is closeness with each other, and it's tied together with Jesus' presence. Just think of it this way. When you know Jesus is in the room, you're going to have to deal with your mess pretty quickly, you know? And if you're harboring something against someone in the room, you'll find that you're immediately convicted of that if you're really praying and really being honest with him. And he'll immediately begin to work healing and replace some of those hard feelings with love.
Yeah, and you've really seen this at work, haven't you?
Absolutely. I mentioned Jim Cimbala. The Brooklyn Tabernacle is a great example of this. We take field trips with our folks up there to the Tuesday night prayer meetings every so often. And the amazing thing is you find this church in the middle of Brooklyn filled with very different people, multiple races, multiple backgrounds and incomes and all of that, and they get along. There's a lot of love there, and it's because of this culture of prayer and the awareness of Jesus' presence and the focus on him that this happens.
Yeah, they're obviously seeing the benefits. What are some more of those, James?
You know, when we pray with others, it builds our faith and it encourages us. So, you know, of course, what I'm assuming when I say that is that there's a healthy practice of praying together. But, you know, when you're praying with someone and they hear what you're saying and, you know, they see the faith that God has given you at work, It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, that's why they called it the shield of faith. So when you raise it together in prayer where people can see it, you know, it helps them be protected by your shield, you know, just as well.
Right.
So, you know, you mentioned that healthy practice, what might be the unhealthy practice?
Okay, well, when one person monopolizes the time when they pray, or when someone preaches to others instead of talking to God when they're praying, you know, we preachers are notorious for that.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to.
You know, sometimes we have to unlearn some bad habits.
So what are healthy habits you'd suggest for replacing those?
Always start by praising God and keep it short and keep it simple. I believe it was Philip Yancey who wrote that Jesus' teaching on prayer could be summarized in three simple ways. Keep it brief, keep it simple, and keep it up. And I really like that.
Why is it that we don't pray together really when we all know it's beneficial?
Well, I think it's because it isn't easy for us to stop everything and set ourselves aside. You know, we're so busy doing things in our own strength. We're so used to that. And I think of something G.K. Chesterton wrote here. The Christian faith hasn't been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried.
I mean, you're right. It is hard at first, just in the sense that we have to discipline ourselves to do it. Because let's face it, we naturally want to do other things.
Right, and that's why I wanted us to talk about this today, because if we sincerely make an effort to do it and give it some time, we won't go back. But what we really want to see is what only God can do. You know, if we can just get people to the throne of grace, that's where the real change happens. That's where God's Spirit moves in power, because remember, Jesus prayed for our unity, and he promised that when we pray together, we'll see him do things we could never make happen.
So you'd say, just do it. Start now. Make the effort.
That's right. And on that note, would you close us out in prayer?
Sure. Jesus, thank you for this wonderful concept of uniting, as I know you would have us, in love with one another, in love for you. And Lord, I pray that you would whet our appetite, and that you would give us opportunities to join our faith with others and reach out to you in that we would be able to light a brighter light for people to come into your kingdom and to get to know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can hear more from Pastor James by visiting his website, jamesbanks.org, or by visiting Peace Church in Durham, North Carolina. May God bless you and encourage you as you pray.